If you would turn to the book of Esther. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we only had time enough to walk through the book of Esther to get a couple of things straight. Tonight I want to walk through world history to set up the book of Easter. To set up the book of Esther. It is one of the most amazing things to see that biblical history and world history matches. Because the Bible tells us the truth about the past, the present, and the future. Archaeologists, geologists all know for a fact that if the Bible says something, check this out. If the Bible says that there was a city, there was a place, there was an incident in a particular place, they would tell you that the Bible has been 100% correct. And if the Bible says there's a place, they can bet their bottom dollar, put their money on exploring that place because it has to exist because the Bible says so. Now, isn't it amazing that they would say that the Bible is 100% correct on its places and on history, but will not agree that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? They will not hold up to the fact that Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Now, all other religions may have a truth in itself, but Jesus Christ messed up all the machinery when he says, I am the only way. Either all other religions are right and Jesus Christ is wrong, or Jesus Christ is right and all other religions are wrong. That's the only option you got when Jesus Christ messed up by saying what he said. Yes, and history is going to show us how much God is interested in what goes on in the world. And how he expects you and I, as believers, to influence that history. Do you know that you and I are holding up his judgment? God has no problem saving the world. You know what his problem is? Getting Christians to do it the way he wants to do it. And the book of Esther is one of the greatest aspects outside of what we learned last week. Number one, we learned why did they call it the book of Esther and not the book of Mordecai? Do you remember what our answer was? Because Esther put her life on the line. Mordecai had great ideas. She walked in front of the king. And if you walk in front of the king without being invited, that could be a problem called being separated from your brain box. Truly would hurt. She could have been killed by the king for coming in uninvited. She did it. Greatest verse. Why do you not believe that you are put here for such a time as this? It shows us all the aspects of decision making by individuals that God is in control of and will use. That's the book of Esther. Doesn't matter what decisions are being made in the book of Esther, it shows you and I that God is in control. So when your enemies try to come up with a plan, the best thing they can do is to be a puppet in the hands of God. Come on, Christian, do you really believe that? Then why do you complain so much? Why do we complain? You know what complaining is? Hutchinson International Dictionary of Biblical Truths. Complaining is simply the dark rooms where we go to develop our negatives. It shows us through the book of Esther that God is the one that's faithful. Prayer isn't mentioned once in the whole entire book of Esther. That's why I was asking the question when I first started, Why is this book even in the Bible? Much less his name. Prayer is never mentioned once. Fasting is mentioned. God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. His name wasn't provoked once. So it shows us the faithfulness of God like no other faithfulness ever that has been created or lived on what we call the third planet from the sun, Earth. All right. Chapter 1. Are we ready? We're going to do a lot of dates, going through a lot of verses, and a lot of history in the time that we have. And if any of you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call the church. Ask for Rachel. And she'd be more than happy to answer all those questions. No, get them to her and we make sure we get them answered for you. Because it's a lot of world history that we're going to have to go through here tonight to set up the book of Esther. The book of Esther, every believer, every Jewish believer in God that is in the book of Esther is a rebellious Jew. Okay? We've already established that. They are a rebellious Jew because they refuse to be obedient to God that after they was freed by Cyrus, that they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem. And they stayed in the land. Okay? Are we ready? Verse 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to embark upon some dates. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, I like Xerxes, not Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes was the son of Xerxes. And I believe, according to the years, that I believe the book was written, and I think we narrowed it down last week through history, to at least 7 years that the book of Esther had to be written. It was written after the 7th year, after the 12th year, excuse me, of Xerxes' reign. We know it for a fact that it probably would be between the 13th year and the 20th year of Xerxes that the book of Esther was written. And we know that for a fact because of what it tells us in one of the later chapters. And we also have come to the conclusion, or at least I did, and hopefully you did, that they say they do not know who wrote the book of Esther. We know through the last chapter that it was probably Esther and Mordecai. Okay? We know that Xerxes took over in probably 485 BC. He ruled until 465. I want to go back to 5. 5 was when the Persian Empire started. 485 to 465, Xerxes ruled. Okay. We know that because of verse 2, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the 3rd year of his reign, he made a feast. We know that the 3rd year of his reign, starting in 486, which will make the celebration 483. In 483. Now that the Bible, the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. In that 3rd year, he made a party, and it was a partay. This has all taken place in the second world kingdom. There's only been 4 world kingdoms in the history of man. There's been dynasties, there has been powers, there has been all kinds of people that became very prominent. But in the world of man, there's only been 4 world kingdoms. In biblical history, there's only going to be 5 world kingdoms before God shuts down and is going to rule on the 5th world kingdom for eternity. The first world kingdom we hear about is Babylon. Babylon started around 612 BC. 612 BC. Nebuchadnezzar. Now let's go over here to some scriptures is going to help us understand what is the problem. Over in Isaiah, Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. This is a promise given 150 years before the captivity took place. Isaiah 45, remember, 150 some years before. Beginning with verse 1. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus, being the first king of the second empire, Persia. And thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to overthrow him the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, who called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now check this out. Verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, the faithfulness of God being shown even before they was put into captivity, I have made a promise to you. I will keep that promise. I am God. I do not lie. I am not like man. Do you have a promise from God that you're getting weak in because you haven't seen any changes maybe in your life after all the prayer? You're the one that's unfaithful. You're the one that gets weak. You're the one that drops his promises. For he shall never, ever not hold to one of his promises to every one of us. I will not forsake thee. I will supply all your needs. The biggest problem with most Christians is we want to put in wants. Amen. Can I have an amen, somebody? God promised to supply all our wants. No, he did not. I will supply all your needs. And some of you are saying, well, Pastor, if you could say that, that's the way you would say it. Now, Pastor, how do I know the difference between a want and a need? Easy. Pray about it. If you get it, it was a need. Don't make something easy that's difficult. Pray about it. If you don't get it, guess what? It's a want. What's Pastor now? No, I don't go for that. The mortgage is not a want. It's a need. No, if God didn't give it to you, the need was you should have done a better job saving money. Instead of going out there and buying that extra car. I'm leaning forward. That's about as good as I can do. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, you know, Pastor, I know. Look, it's easy. The difference between the want and the need is just pray and ask God. If you get it, it's what?
A need.
If it's not given,
it's a
want. He wants you to find out why it's a want more than a need, and for you to change your thinking. Man, I just love God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Verse 11, Isaiah 45. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning thy sons and concerning the works of thy hands. Command ye me. Very bad translation. Most people say you need to command God. God is saying you do not command me. That's what that verse says. Many of our charismatic brothers mistranslate that verse. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hand, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go of my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 45 tells us that God is going to put the Israeli people in in captivity. Then he's going to send Cyrus, who was the first king of the second kingdom. Babylon started. Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled in making sure 150 some years later that they were put into captivity. Do we have a God? Some of you are just looking at me like, I don't know about this, Pastor. I just don't know. Well, that's fine. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Are you there yet? I'm there. I got all my verses divided by money. Makes me hurry up and get over there. Can I have an amen? So as quick as I get to the verse, I can put that back in my wallet. The scriptures are rich. Can I have an amen on that? I hope you guys are having much fun as I am. Here comes the fulfillment of the 70 years where God allows Nebuchadnezzar in the first world kingdom, first world empire, started when? 612 BC, goes until the second world kingdom, which started in 550 BC. Don't get confused, because many of the history books don't want to admit what the Bible admits. Now, most history books would say that the Babylonian Empire went until 539 BC. No, it was still existing until 539 BC. It lost its world domination in 550 BC. Somebody say amen to the past in history. Okay, all right. Now, Second World Kingdom will finish up what God is starting in Jeremiah chapter 29. You got Jeremiah chapter 29? Now listen to what God says. Very important to understand God in the midst of difficult, troubling times. I love verse 8 and 9. The meat starts in verse 10, but I want to read 8 and 9 to you. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause you to be dreaming. In other words, God said, someone comes along and says, and God said to me in a dream. Can I have an amen, somebody? God saying something to you in a dream better line up with scripture. And if it lines up with scripture, you don't need to dream. Talk to the pastor. Am I looking strange up here? If it goes against scripture, you know it didn't come from God. Amen. I have people, man, you wouldn't believe how many people come and tell the pastor what God has told them to tell me. Some of it's not very nice, too. Sometimes, man, the way God's talking to other folks about me, he doesn't like me. So I just tell him real easy. I said, God and I are very close. God and I are even closer than my wife and I. And if my wife wants me to know something, she tells me. Amen? If she doesn't tell me, she either is afraid to tell me or she don't want to hurt my feelings. Since I'm such a sensitive guy. No, but if my wife wants me to know something, best way is for what? Communicate it. Now, since God is closer to me than my wife, if he wants to tell me something, why should he go and pick someone else I don't know? That's not very smart, and I think God created everything. Now, if you want to say God said it according to the scriptures, can I get an amen on that? Because if it's in the scriptures, you got me. I give. Scripture said, I'm through. I will line up with the scriptures. I have no personal views. Only what the Bible has to say. And that overrides every aspect of me. Overrides my masculinity. It overrides my blackness. It overrides me being an American. It overrides my desires. It overrides everything. The Word of God and Jesus Christ is it. Aren't you glad you got someone that is supposed to be sitting up in front of you teaching the Word of God that feels that way? Because if I did, I'd be preaching from the book of Second Opinions every Sunday. Thou shalt take care of the black man. I read that last night in the scripture, and God wanted me to tell y'all that. Jeremiah, you got it? Look at this. Verse 9. For they prophesy falsely. How do they prophesy? Falsely. If it goes against the word, it's prophesied falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Amen. You know the best thing I would love to bring back? Stoning. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be heavy duty. All the people with, you know, they do the what they call them? The horoscopes. Is that what they are? What they call? The predictors of the future? Come on, what do they call? Was that sinners? Astrologer. Astrologers? Okay, them too. Yeah. But I mean, wouldn't it be great? God says, if you get it from me, it's 100% correct. 100%. And I would love to get some of these people to predict what's going to happen next year. The movie 2012. Kill everyone to help make the movie. If it don't end in 2012. It would be so much fun, man. Oh, next. Bring the rocks. You missed it. Got to kill you. You think it'll be less people predicting? One way or the other. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be having fun with someone else's life. But God says, if you say you got it from me and didn't, and it's wrong, kill you. That was in the Old Testament. Aren't we glad we're under grace? Amen. Look here. Here we go, God. Beginning, first world kingdom, ending in the second world kingdom. For thus said the Lord, after 70 years accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. How many years? 70 years. God's going to put them in captivity for 70 years. I thought you loved us, Lord. I thought you cared. Why would you allow someone that is a pagan that don't even know you? Nebuchadnezzar, who moved into our city, tore our cities apart, Jerusalem. Destroy what you have established. You're going to let him put us in captivity for 70 years. That's because you do not understand the love, power, and consistency of the God you said you've given your life to. Listen to what he says. For I know the thoughts. Excuse me. Go back to verse 10. I will visit you. I will perform my good word toward you in causing you to return even unto this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know what I want you to look like when I get through with you. And without 70 years in captivity, you'll never be able to look like that. Do you know how much comfort that is when you have cancer? Can't hear you. That is comfort. If I truly believe that I want to be all that God wants me to be, and the only way I can be that way is cancer, I rejoice in the cancer. I don't know how throwing up make you more like Jesus. But if it does, bring it on. 70 years. I've only had cancer a year and a half. What? 9 years now, right? We've been fighting it. That's a lot shorter than 70. I'm blessed. Watch this. Verse 12. And then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. I will hear you, but only when? After 70 years, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. How does God want us to seek him? Some of us, it takes 70 years of captivity to seek him with all of our heart. You know, it's not very many Christians is really that crazy about going to heaven. Because they know they got to die to do it. And that's not many of us is not satisfied with our life down here. And I know God's got a sense of humor, and he's going to wait till many of us pay our house off, then he's going to take us out of here. Did I say that? I'm sorry. No, Lord, no, no, no. I'm debt free. That's going to be a funny day. You don't think God's going to be cracking up? I told God rapture, you know, I've said, God, if you're going to rapture me, make sure I'm standing next to two non-believers. I want to grab them on the way up. Get about 30,000 feet up and say, are you going to believe or shall I let go? I do rapture drill. I can't do it as good anymore as I used to because my bad feats with chemotherapy. Praise God. Off. You're going to see how things are going to go the next month or so. But I used to just jump out my shoe. Yeah. Just have them just sit there when you jump out because that's what's going to happen with rapture. Whew. Shoe's going to be just sitting there. Clothes sitting there. I used to have really a sick mind. And I used to think about putting my clothes and my shoes, pants and stuff, sit it on the chair and have the family get up the next day. They got left. It takes a sick mind to think of something like that. Amen. Woo! Okay. Mark says, move on. He's always worried about time. I've been gone a month, man. I'm going to take my time. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, saith the Lord. That's a promise. Seek after me with all your heart, you will find me, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places of which I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. What a promise. And he sends Cyrus, 550 BC, to fulfill that promise. Second world kingdom to set them free. Did not happen until God said it was going to happen, with the king is going to happen. Cyrus the first king, and then we had the just an unbelievable set of kings. Cimbuses, second Persian king. Then we had Darius, who came to king in 521. Anyone know who Darius is? The king of Persia, second world kingdom. He's the one that had to deal with Daniel. Can I get an amen? We know right down to almost the year and the decade that God dealt with Daniel. Does anyone know, according to the control of God over circumstances, that Daniel had to end up in Persia? Can anyone in here tell me why God manipulated it to the point where Cyrus took over when he did? Why he made it take over when he did? Why Darius became king when he did? And why Daniel must be a prisoner in the second world kingdom in order for something to take place in the New Testament? What's that? Prophecy of Christ couldn't have been fulfilled, or we wouldn't have known about it as soon, without the wise men from Persia. The three wise men that sought after Christ was from Persia. They remembered, well, almost 400 some years. They remembered 400 some years of the teaching of Daniel. It was passed down all that time when the Messiah was supposed to be on the earth. And all of a sudden they looked at the scriptures and said, hey, this is the year and the time that the Messiah is supposed to be born. Some 400 and some years after Daniel gave that prophecy. Is God awesome? Some of you are looking at me like, ooh. If it wasn't for Daniel, we would never would have known about the third world kingdom. Anyone know who the third world kingdom was? What was that? Greece. Alexander the Great. How many of you realize that that started about 336 BC, the Greece Empire? Most people think, well, probably 327. I think 336. I think that the Persian Empire existed to 326, but lost its power to Greece in 336 BC. Now, Alexander was 19 years old when he took over the world. Can't hear you. That's a mature young man. He knew how to kill you. Yeah, that's how they took over. They would go in and totally destroy whoever they was fighting against, take everything away from them of their culture, and made them have to move into the new culture to be accepted. And if they wouldn't move into the new culture, they was destroyed. Can't hear you. Kind of like, it'd be really nice to have everyone speak English in America. We won't stop you from using your native language. You can do that all you want. But if you're going to be in school, you're going to answer the phone, you're going to get a driver's license, you need to speak English. Am I prejudiced? No, I'm not. I love different cultures. If you hadn't noticed, I am a different culture than the majority of you. That's why they call me a minority. Multiculturalism is not good for any society. And it's amazing that the world kingdoms knew that. America is the only one that's oversensitive. Pastor, that sounds so cold. I hope not. It's just the truth that we want to survive as a society. Wow. Did you know why you would never have heard about Greece, third world kingdom, if it wasn't for Daniel's prophecy? Turn to Malachi. Can't see you. Turn them pages. I love to hear those leaves. If you ever walk into church and the pastor give you a verse and there's no leaves turning, you leave. Can I get an amen, church? Malachi. Everyone got Malachi? And some of you know him as the Italian prophet. Malachi. Chapter 3. This is the last time. Hold on to your hat now. This is the last time God is going to speak for 400 years. How long? 400 years. He gives a promise as he goes quiet. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. You got some time tonight, read the first six verses of Malachi chapter 3, and it's going to tell you who God promised. God promised in Malachi John the Baptist. Can I get an amen? He goes quiet from 400 BC until the birth of John the Baptist, when his promise that is going to come. 400 years. 400 BC to the first year AD. Can anyone tell me why don't we hear about, in the Bible, Greece? Because Greece ruled inside the 400 years of God's silence. Man, do we have a God or what? From 336 until 36, almost 300 years. Alexander the Great took over when he was how old? 19 years old. Guess when he died? 33 years old. Same age as Christ when he died. 33. Rome was moving, but they could not take over because when Alexander the Great died, he turned over all of his kingdoms to his generals. Every time we go to Israel, I try to pick up an early antiquity coin. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. I wear two coins around my neck. One's a gift from a friend, thank you. One I bought myself. One of the generals that took over after Alexander the Great died was Ptolemy and his sons over Egypt. That's one of the coins I wear. It is 2,300 years old. I wear another one for Rome, which is some 2,100 years old, to prove that these places does exist. Can I get an amen? 400 years it goes quiet. Would you please turn with me when God decides not to be quiet anymore? The book of Luke. Come on now, we got to go. You got to listen a lot faster than you're doing. We already should be through, but I'm going to finish the history because I want to jump in the book next Sunday. Chapter 1, book of Luke, beginning with verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the house of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Almost sounds like Fred Sanford, doesn't it? Some of you get that on the way home. God is going to speak to Zacharias when he's been quiet. How many years? Come on, how many years he's been quiet? 400 years. God has not spoken to his people. Can anyone in here, if you've heard me before, talking about the world kingdoms, what world kingdom is going on now with Zacharias and Elizabeth? The Roman Empire, which took over probably around 36 BC and ran until 393 AD. Of all the kingdoms, hold on to your hat, Rome is not like any of the other three. Can anyone tell me why Rome is not like the other three? What? All the other three was destroyed. Rome has never been destroyed. Rome was dispersed. And God stepped into history to keep Rome from being destroyed. You remember a guy by the name of Hannibal? The great African king was kicking Rome all over their Roman map. He was coming in and he was going to be the fifth world kingdom, which God says, oh no, I'm the fifth world kingdom. And my brother, you just messed up. So God took and froze all of Hannibal's elephants in the Alps. I don't know about you, but back in the day, probably would have been pretty hard to kill an elephant without a big gun. And those elephants were stamping, killing folks, going and coming. That's when you run into the Maccabees, which is not in our Bible, but is in the Catholic Bible. Bad boys. They was elephant killers. Oh, I love history, especially world history. Are you getting excited about Bible, world history, God, and in control? I'm going to tell you something, man. God stepped in, destroyed Hannibal, sent him back. So don't you mess with Rome. Rome is mine. And that's why we know in prophecy, God's going to bring back Rome. It's called the 10 toes of the statue. Probably the 10 European nations that they're trying to put together right now. And inside that 10 European nation, in order for God to be able to destroy Rome, not just disperse it, it probably would not have Russia, would not be a part of the 10. China, which all of us better be glad, won't be part of the 10. Because no one can handle China in war. An army of 200 million. Little bit of people running around. That knows math real good. Is that stereotype? Are you saying I should not say that, honey? It's the truth. We speak biblical truth. 200 million, folks. What can you do with an army of 200 million? Gog and Magog in Revelation. And God said, if they start moving and start marching, nobody in the world can stop them. They just send 10 million soldiers and say, when you get tired of them, we got 10 million more. That'd be 20 million for us not to have to feed. Because they don't think of life the way you and I think of life. No other part of the world thinks of life like the U.S. thinks of life. We're the only power that conquers and builds other nations up to still be independent. So don't talk to me about how bad America is. It is the greatest thing until the fifth world kingdom takes over the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone knows about my boy Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth? Can anyone tell me what their name means? Elizabeth and Zacharias, put their names together, it means God remembers his promise. Isn't that a coincidence? 400 years later, God picks a priest and his wife, who means God remembers his promise and fulfills Malachi chapter 3. Sends John the Baptist. Now, I don't know about you, but it says they weren't used to hearing from God after 400 years, right? Zacharias walks in the temple, and you had to tie a rope to him because they made a mistake in the temple. God killed them right there. Boom. No mistakes in the temple. There was no oops clause. So can you imagine? We got to get out of here, though. Can you imagine when Zacharias looked up and saw the angel? He thought he was done. Oh, no. Don't worry, babe. I got some good news for you. Because if the prophet died in the Holy of Holies, who could go in there and get him? Nobody. And that's why they kept checking Zachariah, because he was in there a long time, talking, having a conversation. So they probably kept testing the rope, because if the rope don't pull back, they know he made a mistake, he's dead, so they drag him out underneath the curtain, because no one's going in there. And Zacharias makes one bad, stupid mistake. I want to show you something real quick here. It says, and they was blameless, both Zacharias and Elizabeth was blameless before the Lord, yet they had no children. God chooses to do things at times and has nothing to do with whether you're a sinner or not. Has everything to do with his plan. And when Zacharias questioned, what in the world was wrong with that boy? He done waited all his time to be blessed. And he says, how do I know this? I'm an old man, and Elizabeth is stricken, well stricken in years. Wouldn't call her old even in the Holy of Holies. Can I have an amen? Never said that woman is old. He said, man, my wife is well stricken in years, even in his out of here. You know what the angel said? It's just because you're going to question me? I come from God. You're going to question his promise to you? He's going to give you the last Old Testament prophet? And you question this? He's going to give you the only prophet that sees the fulfillment of the Messiah? And you're going to question me? I'm going to give you the first cousin to the Messiah? And you going to question me just for that, boy? You won't be able to speak until your son is born. And then you tell him his name is John. Oh! I just want to know one thing. Do we have a God that's in control of everybody's decision? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. It is good. Thank you for the world. It is good. After you get through with it. God, that's nothing out of your control. There's nothing out of your command. Your permissive will is amazing to me. And you will choose and you will use whoever you please. And as the song said tonight, here we are. In Jesus' most holy, present, glorious name, we all say, amen.